This podcast would not be possible without the generous support of the Allen and Millie Gould Family Foundation. Welcome to the Spiel on Hamilton, a brand new podcast that highlights all that Jewish Hamilton has to offer and discusses issues important to the local community. My name is Wendy Schneider, and I'll be hosting the podcast today in my role as editor of the Hamilton Jewish News. As the crisis in Ukraine continues to unfold, we decided to reach out to a number of Jewish Hamiltonians whose countries of origin are from the former Soviet Union. We asked them to share their feelings and insights about the conflict. We also spoke with Hamilton Jewish Federation CEO Gustavo Rimberg to tell us about Federation's emergency campaign for Ukraine and how the Hamilton Jewish community has responded. Our first guest is Elena Clark, who immigrated to Hamilton in 1978 from Kyiv. I wanted to ask you how you felt about what's going on in Ukraine today.
I feel horrible. I feel horrible, and I definitely feel very angry. What can I say? People are dying, children are dying. My city is getting bombed, and doesn't matter how they will try their building from 12th centuries, a beautiful building, Sofia Temple, Pecherska Lavra, and Opera House, one of the best in the world. What if they're going to be destroyed? How they can? I know it's not the matter of buildings, it's a matter of human suffering, but it's my city, it's my streets, and it's my buildings.
Yeah, I hear you, Elena, and I can't imagine what you're going through. Elena, you were born in Kyiv?
Yes.
When someone asks you about your own nationality, what do you respond?
I'm a Jew, first and foremost. Unfortunately, and I have to be honest, I experienced a lot of anti-Semitism in Ukraine. And therefore, I learned a difference between Ukrainian and Jewish. And with every year, I'm becoming more and more feeling very strong and proud of being who I am. I am a Jew.
Do you call yourself a Jew from Ukraine?
If people ask where I'm born, I said, yeah, I'm a Jew from Ukraine. But I always start with the word Jew.
Can you say a little bit about what kind of anti-Semitism you experienced when you were living in Ukraine?
I had a trouble to get to university and go to university, not of my choice, but whatever I could get into. In my first day of job, I was told, remember who you are, and you have to work three times as better. My 5 years old daughter came and tell me, Tanichka doesn't want to play with me because I'm a Jew. Can you, mommy, tell me why Tanichka doesn't want to play with me?
So I'm wondering, after everything that's going on right now in Ukraine, whether despite your experience of anti-Semitism when you lived there in that region, do you feel a sense of unity today with the people of Ukraine?
Actually, I do. Because not every Ukrainian is anti-Semite. And people are suffering. I just want this war to be over. More than anything, before the war started, I was praying to Hashem for diplomacy to win. And now I'm praying every day for this horror to be over. I feel unity with people.
Thank you so much for speaking with us and sharing your feelings with us. It was very good to talk to you, Elena, and I wish you well and a hopefully speedy end to this terrible conflict.
Thank you, Wendy.
Our next guest is Anna Shkolnik, who immigrated to Canada in 1978 from Kyiv. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Wendy.
I understand that you're in Florida right now.
Yes, for March break.
Good to know. So thank you for being here, Anna. My first question is, how do you feel about what's going on in Ukraine today?
It's awful. It's tragedy, unimaginable. None of us predicted anything like that. We knew the situation is not stable for the last 8 years, but full war from different sides of Ukraine on February 24th, it was just unimaginable.
What are you hearing? Do you still have contacts over there in Ukraine? And if so, what are you hearing from them?
I have my cousins and my husband's cousins' children in Ukraine in different places, some near Kyiv in a small village. They moved from a city, Vasilkov, to a village. They have friends who helped them to hide there. So they're hiding there and they're not planning to leave Ukraine. I have my close friends, family, in a small city 2 hours from Kyiv, that is for women that just decided to stay because they're all in medical field and they're working at the hospital. So this is what they, what I hear from them. So it is a difficult situation. They're not moving. They don't want to go to, at this point. They're not planning to go to Israel. It's a Jewish family, and then come to Canada, although my friend is encouraging them to do so. I've heard about my other cousin's child in Dnipro. It's used to be Dnipropetrovsk. So they're just holding there. So it's tough. It's very, very tough. So some people left. My some people that are distant family, they left. They are in Poland. They are waiting for a Canadian government to ease the restrictions. And you know, we definitely would welcome them here. They will get full support. So there are two families in Poland now.
Thank you, and I understand that you are in touch with many members of the Russian Jewish community in Florida right now. What are people who are from Russia? What are they telling you right now about the conflict?
Jews from Russia, especially from Moscow, they share the same views as us because they've lived here for many years. I've met. It's interesting, my former student from Columbia International College, a young woman who is here with her two children in the same building, she's trying to avoid, you know, the conversation. We talk more about children and everything else. She's avoiding, and I don't push, obviously, and the situation, they have Canadian citizenship as well. Some people definitely in disbelief, they still feel that they read only, you know, Russian, they watch Russian TV stations, they read Russian, and some of the people are hard to talk to because the propaganda had brainwashed them big time. So it's hard. So it's just on different, some avoid, some Russian nationals, they feel it's not easy for them. We have to understand that today, in today days, to be Russian, to speak the language, and people who visibly look Russian, it's tough for them.
Would you say the community is divided right now by people who are sympathetic to the Ukrainian side of the conflict and people who are sympathetic to Russia?
Yeah, no question about it. It's about 50-50, yeah. Because those who have access and slowly, gradually get the information about everything, it's not that easy to find reputable sources. Because obviously, for obvious reasons, both sides, you know, are trying to portray and to win people's support. on both sides. And so it, yeah, definitely people from Russia who are here, they are divided, oh, for sure.
And are there all the people that you're in touch now, whether they're from Russia or from Ukraine originally, are they all Jewish people who you're in touch with right now in Florida?
No, no, Jewish and non-Jews, no. Not only Jewish people. I have here my cousin from Belarus, so it's another area, another country that allowed Putin to keep their forces on their territory. And I met with my cousin yesterday, and he said that his classmate, who is a medical doctor, so on the first 2 days after the war started at the hospital, they were getting wounded Russian soldiers by buses. And he was able only for 2 days to take some pictures and posted something. And then on the third day, all the medical personnel was ordered to give their cell phones. They're not allowed to have it anymore. And so they have not heard from, he hasn't heard from his classmate since February 26th. So it's only the first 2 days when they had contact, but the pictures and the account that this doctor posted were horrific, absolutely horrific, which we don't see here, right? What's happening with Russian casualties that are sent to Belarus, to the north. So we just don't hear. I just learned about it yesterday. So it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy on both fronts that, you know, people did not deserve, the world did not deserve it. And now Ukrainians obviously paying a very high price, and Russians as well. So it's a tragedy.
Anna, if someone were to ask you what your own nationality is, what would you reply?
I'm just saying that I'm from Ukraine. This is what I will make it very clearly, not Ukrainian, but from Ukraine. I was born in Ukraine. And if anyone will ask a little bit more further, I identify myself as a Jew from Ukraine.
Do you have any ambivalence about the Ukrainian people because of any experience you may have had in the past of anti-Semitism?
You know, this is like I grew up in Kyiv, and I had my two children in Kyiv. So you see people on both sides. You see anti-Semites that are open, that display anti-Semitism toward Jews in general. To me personally, in personal contacts, classmates, neighbors, friends, I did not experience personally from them. However, from the whole system, because anti-Semitism in Soviet time was a state policy. So mm-hmm. It's different when you just have individuals who are anti-Semite and you're dealing with them, and when there is a state that is anti-Semitic and anti-Israel at that time in the 70s. So it's different story.
But that came more from the Soviet, that came more from Russia, I would assume, from what you're saying, not so much a Ukrainian problem, but because you were part of the Soviet Union.
Right. It's a Soviet Union, obviously, yeah. It came as a government policy because of the Soviet Union. But I must say that not in all parts of Soviet Union, people felt same level of anti-Semitism, because from Kyiv, many Jews will go, like Kyiv was like an epicenter. like Jews living in Baltic republics, in Siberia, even in Western Ukraine, like Lviv, they did not experience same level of antisemitism as us in Kyiv, because it's a capital city, and there was a support of local authorities, local politicians, no doubt about that. Towards, so in Kyiv, we felt very strongly that level of antisemitism, which was different from my relatives who left in Belarus, who lived in Belarus, and many of my relatives and friends would go to apply for a university in Russia. Even in most parts of Russia, antisemitism was not. So it was a combination of state policy combined with the mutual support or support from the local politicians and support, you know, population. So for sure it was a support.
Do you feel a sense of unity with the Ukrainian people right now?
Absolutely. And anyone who is from Ukraine, I just, you know, if you see someone, then this is just a person who is just ignorant to see the information. Very, like only in Florida, I met maybe one. But otherwise, people are united from East, West, Jews, non-Jews, everybody. So this is probably, you know, with this tragedy, what will come with Ukraine, that it will come out as a monolith nation without East-West historical split between two Ukraines. No question about it, they will be united. They are united now, and they will come united. It will be a different Ukraine for sure.
Well, I think you just answered my final question, which was, what do you hope might come out of this conflict?
What I think is that what will come is a strong, united, democratic Ukraine and less corrupted. The world sees now Ukraine differently. As I said, it's a tragic and difficult times now, but I think the whole world for the first time see such unity, such a bravery of Ukrainian people, and they just learn a lot, because we dealt with wars on different in different parts of the world. So what we see in Ukraine as Jews, it's very much what we see in what we saw in Israel when Israel was attacked. So this is the time for unity for Jews. And this is the time when in case of Israel, it's the world is not as united, unfortunately, as it is to help Ukraine. So it's a different situation. However, the strength of people could be comparable to the Jews who are living in Israel, who are fighting for their land afterwards. But after Ukraine gaining independence, it was very much close to Israel, and the Jewish communities everywhere thrived in Israel and felt very comfortable. Even overall antisemitism level from people, Jews who are living in Ukraine or moved from Israel back to Ukraine, they're not complaining about that. So they're not referring to antisemitism. So situation definitely has changed in the last 30 years in Ukraine. And let's just hope it will just go forward, and it will be a peaceful and democratic country. They deserve it, for sure. They deserve it.
Okay, Anna, thank you so much for your time. It was really so interesting listening to you and your perspective, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next guest is Gustavo Rimberg, CEO of Hamilton Jewish Federation. Hello, Gustavo.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you for having me here.
My pleasure. Gustavo, let's start off by telling our listeners about the Federation's emergency campaign for Ukraine. What has been the community response to that campaign?
In 3 weeks, we raised close to $90,000, which is amazing for a community of our size. So I am really proud, impressive. You know, it's a great accomplishment for us to be part of this and for us to express our support. It's incredible.
That is incredible, and almost unprecedented, because I've lived in Hamilton for decades, and I can't recall such an overwhelming response in such a short period of time, except perhaps during the Six-Day War or the Yom Kippur War. So that's pretty incredible. Gustavo, can you explain, like, how is that money being spent?
Well, all the money that we're collecting is going directly to the JDC, the Jewish Distribution Committee, more known as the Joint. And they are right there. They are in every border with Ukraine. They are the first, the first phase that all these refugees are seeing when they cross the border. They are there to support. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not, they are supporting humanity. You know, they are supporting everyone who is in need, and by providing food, by providing the basics to all these people. And you can see that, you know, I was very shocked watching TV, watching the news, watching the reports from the situation in Ukraine, seeing the JDC tents there. You know, you can see them, they are present, they are dealing with people. It's real. So our money is going directly to them.
Gustavo, you and I were speaking the other day, and you mentioned this article in Tablet magazine that you read about, that was an interview with Natan Sharansky. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, it was very interesting. I shared the article with you because there's something that he said in the article that resonates to me. You know, it's like, He grew up in Ukraine. I mean, he was very involved in the, I would say, the liberation of the Russian Jews, you know. And he says something that he remembered growing up being Jewish, and I will say, like, marked as a Jew, you know, and the significant and the repercussions that have, you know. You hide to be a Jewish, but you are marked as a Jew, and it was a big problem for them, for his family, for all the Jewish communities living in Ukraine at that time. And now he's saying, you know, the best thing that can happen to you is to have the J, or be Jewish, or be marked as a Jew, because all the work of these Jewish agencies from Israel, agencies from all over the world, you know, Adasa, Ort International, Jaffe, Jewish Agency for Israel, JDC, they are there. And as soon as you show that you are Jewish, it's your passport to a better life. And I think that it's time also for us, you know, we all recognize that it's a very interesting past with Ukrainian and the Jewish communities. We recognize that they were partners with the Nazis in some occasions, but at the same time, you compare Ukrainian today with the Jewish president, with the Jewish leader, with someone who is like fighting for survival, fighting with the people. I think that it's important not to forget the past, but at the same time, you know, see the reality of what's happening today and how we support Jewish and non-Jewish people that they are going through this disgrace. I mean, it's terrible what's happening there.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your view, and thank you for sharing that story. It's really interesting to hear Natan Sharansky's perspective on this whole crisis, having lived through the worst years of repression. So thank you so much, Gustavo, for your time. It was great speaking with you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Thank you.
Our next guest is Mark Volman, who immigrated to Hamilton in 1990 from what today is known as Uzbekistan. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hi, Wendy. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, thanks. So, Mark, how are you feeling about what's going on in Ukraine today?
Devastated. Totally devastated. I have such a good memory of, I'm from Uzbekistan. It's a very different part of former Soviet Union. Of course, like pretty much all of us, Russian speaking community, Jewish community, we have friends, we have relatives in Ukraine. I've been there. I've been in Mariupol, which has been bombarded daily, nightly, three times every single summer when I was young, during my work. And also when I was in school, I still have friends there. Can't get connected to them because we have no, it's no connections. There's no way, it's no social media. I'm phoning my friends every single day and we don't pick up. So I don't know what's happened to them. So it's a mind blowing. I would never ever imagine, things like this would happen.
When was the last time you were in touch with these people, your friends in that area?
In Mariupol, I have very close friends, my school friends. I have two of them. We have families, of course, and one of them have four children, work in metallurgical cabinet, and another one is a teacher. And last time I talked to them was it probably 2 months ago, through Odnoklassniki. It's classmates. It's a kind of social website. So, and even now, if you go there, it's available. It's only one site is available. Our sites are totally shut down by Russian government, but they're not there.
That must be so hard for you.
Yes, it's very, very strange feeling. I feel that I'm helpless. I'm trying to help. We did some donations and we purchased corporately sleeping bags and medical supply. We sent there as of yesterday to Ukraine. It's all I can do. Unfortunately, I cannot get in touch with him. I cannot even ask him how we are. I hope we're alive.
It must be so hard. Mark, in terms of your own nationality, if someone asked you, you know, where are you from? How would you answer that question?
I'm always told when I'm Jewish, but I'm Russian descent. Came from Russia, from former Soviet Union. You know, it's. I still think that Russian people in general, they're good people, and whatever the government does, they're not fully responsible for it. Some of them are simply afraid. Some of them lied on. Russian propaganda is very horrendous propaganda. It's like it's a playbook from George Orwell from 1984, white and black, black and white, peace and war, and war is a peace. So this is what we've been told for the last 30 something years, and has been continuing. So it's hard to say how much we're involved in this, but I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a Russian descent.
Did you have any experience of anti-Semitism when you lived in the former Soviet Union?
It was the reason why I left, not because of myself. I had my own business, was doing well, but I was thinking about kids. My wife became pregnant and opportunity came for us to move, and we did so without hesitation. Yeah.
Can you say more about that? Like, how did anti-Semitism, how did the Jewish community where you were, how did you feel that?
To begin with, when I graduated, I graduated top five at school, but I couldn't get the placement I wanted to. And I was told that this is probably my nationality. I went to work in Tashkent, Uzbekistan. And by working there, I experienced it exactly the same. Any time you need a promotion, you need something like this to be done. And you're not number one on the list. That was why I went to private business back there. I decided to work for myself.
I see. And today you have a business. What can you just tell our listeners? What is your business here in Hamilton?
I run the greenhouse operations up in concession in Hamilton. We mostly distributing to be designing and distributing to the United States and all over Canada miniature plants.
Okay. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you was whether or not you feel a sense of unity with the people of Ukraine today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have lots of friends who live in Canada, and we still have relatives there. I have a few in Odessa, I have a few in Kherson and Kharkov as well. And of course, at Kyiv, yeah. And communicate with them pretty much daily. And we're still communicating with their families. Very good so far. We're hiding, we're finding the way to escape the casualties. They're still in good spirit, and we're trying to support each other.
Would you say there's a sense of unity today between the Jewish community that is still in Ukraine and the general Ukrainian community?
I think so. The way I see it, I think all world united against the war. I think very few countries supporting Putin as is. It's geopolitical, of course. Communities wise, like I only see solidarity only. Like all my employees were so happy when I announced that, guys, let's support them corporately, let's send such and so. And we've been supportive, and we brought the blankets, we brought the warm clothes, it's what required. A few brought sleeping bags, and we send everything through the Oakville Church. Apparently, we ship directly to the Ukraine.
And do you have any contacts in Russia right now, or do you have any friends who have contacts?
I do have friends. This is a very hard question for me to answer, Wendy, very hard. I'll tell you why. I don't communicate with them lately. I have a few people who work for Apparatus, and I was told not to contact them, unfortunately, and I understand why. I was simply afraid. I look at exactly the same classmates website. You'll be shocked, you'll be surprised at majority, I would say probably over 90% supporting Putin. We're supporting him because we've been lied. You see this Z sign, you see this come back home, safe, and death, all of these Nazis and Banderas, whatever they call them. The old propaganda, they've all been lied, you know, and we do support Putin because, and this is what break my heart, that all was my classmates. And I see it and I don't respond to it. I just absorb it.
Where are you seeing this, that how they're feeling about it? Where are you seeing that on social media?
I see it on social media, from this particular site, yeah. I'm still there, I'm still going there. I'm not disputing anything, not discussing anything, but it is accessible because people are, who used to be your classmates, they are majority of them supporting Putin, yeah. So he's winning this war with population of Russia. He is winning this war as of today.
And these contacts of yours who are posting, are they Jews or non-Jews?
Oh, no, not Jews, no. I don't think so, any women Jews, as far as I remember. You know, a lot of us simply did not, a lot of them didn't even declare them being Jews, even though they could be back in Russia. It wasn't something that was really common, but the majority of them, no, we Russians, we Slavic, some of them in Ukrainians, we, but because we live in Russia, we're supporting whatever propaganda we have to support. And maybe we do it because we're afraid, or maybe we do it because we truly believe into it. Yeah, it's hard to say. It's what's my observation, yeah.
But yeah, of course, there's no way of knowing if they
no
really
way of knowing, yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's something. So my final question for you, Mark, is what do you hope might come from this conflict?
I think it will end. I hope soon. I never imagined what's going to come to this way. But I think eventually it will be, Ukraine will be like, once again, I'm not a politician. It's just speculation, just my own thoughts. Ukraine will be declared as a state, as Austria or Switzerland, demilitarized, and there will be accept the conditions of surrender. Unfortunately, Russian machine is extremely powerful. I hope we're going to keep that territory, majority of it. We have to recognize Donetsk, Lugansk, whatever it is, whatever will be imposed on them. just as a compromise. So I would never gonna break the will of these people. Like I'm so admire of how we fighting background, how we fighting the invaders. Used to be their brothers, used to be their friends. Now we are invaders because we simply duped. We simply now went with propaganda, which is very, very hard to not to go for if you live there. That's what my opinion, once again, just opinion.
Well, I appreciate your sharing your thoughts with us, and I thank you so much for your time. I wish you and your family all the best, and let's hope for a speedy end to this terrible conflict.
Thank you, Wendy. It was nice seeing you.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Our next guest is Leon Karan, who immigrated to Hamilton in 1991 from Minsk in Belarus. Good morning, Leon.
Good morning, Wendy. Thank you for the invitation.
My pleasure. So, Leon, the first thing I wanted to ask you today is, how do you feel about what's going on in Ukraine?
My vision, it is a pure aggression on behalf of the Russian government against the country where the people got the sense of freedom and want to build their life at their discretion.
What's it like for you to see, to wake up every day and see images of the destruction?
It's awful. It's very, very bad for people, and it's a disrespect for people's life.
If someone were to ask you what nationality you are, what would you reply?
I'm not afraid here to tell that I'm Jewish. My nationality is Jewish. And to take it more, okay, I'm Canadian Jew, which I wasn't really announced in Russia. Okay, when they asked me, are you Jew? I was trying to hide, I didn't hide it, but I trying not to tell in public.
It was anti-Semitism a part of your day-to-day reality when you were living in Minsk?
Oh yes, I witnessed this. Plus, I couldn't get there. Very high job there, okay, to be like a director or whatever, big authority. I wasn't in the party, okay, and it was my decision not to join the party at all. And yeah, it really impacted. The quote to the entering university for Jews was like 5% only, and it was official. Could you imagine? Okay, so yes, I witnessed it, and I just saved my kids from feeling that pressure from the government, anti-Semitism, not the people, ordinary people in Belarus. They're nice and educated, but from the government, from the party officials.
Right. So in terms of the conflict we're seeing today in Ukraine, do you feel a sense of unity with the people who are under attack today?
Oh, yes. People who actually witnessed the starvation from the Holodomor, people who witnessed the lots of atrocities like concentration camps, like other stuff, you know? It's a lot of people died because of the Russian struggle for power and depression, and just died from this, okay, and a miserable life. I feel that the people who just tasted the freedom right now from oppression, they would fight to death.
It appears to be that is exactly the case, and it must be so hard on people like you who come from that region to see the daily destruction that's taking place.
It's awful. It's really awful. It's not justified, okay? And it's just the Ukrainian people and Russian people, they speak the same language.
Do you have any sympathy for the Russian citizens, the people in Russia who might not really understand what's going on?
Yes, I understand why they don't understand, most of the people. The 75 years of the Russian government controlling their minds, it's awful. it took toll on the young generation who knew nothing but Russian propaganda. And lots of very smart people, intelligent people, educated people, they left Russia. During the revolution, they just escaped Russia or killed. It was the cream of the society. And people who left, they were under the oppression and brainwashed with the Russian propaganda.
My final question to you, Leon, is what do you hope might come from this conflict?
You know, Wendy, I thought about the solution to sign the treaty, okay, the peace agreement with Russia, and to give them those territories like Crimea, Donetsk, and Lugansk, because it's already occupied, and even promise not to join NATO military alliance in order to save people and to get a break. And I believe that learning from the Israel, how they deal with those fight for freedom, for their land, it's a good example to follow.
You know, you're not the first person to make a comparison with Israel. Anna Shkolnik also made that comment that she saw some similarity in the way that Israel has had to fight for its right to live on that piece of land with how the Ukrainian people feel about their piece of land. Can you say more about that?
Israel, it's example of the smart fighting, smart fighting. They saved their population. They're treating the people's life with respect, great respect. Nobody is paying more respect to people's life but Israel.
I appreciate your time today, Leon. Thank you. And let's hope that our collective compassion and sympathy for the people of Ukraine can somehow impact this situation. And let's all hope for a better day.
Yes, let's hope, but we have to fight more actively. All people, all together. That makes big difference.
Spiel on Hamilton is brought to you by the Hamilton Jewish News and is produced by Abigail Suker and Wendy Schneider. If you have any comments, questions, or stories you would like to hear on the show, please email acuker@jewishhamilton.org. We would love to hear from you. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform to learn more about this amazing community. Until next time, this is the Spiel on Hamilton.